Jay, what are the differences you see in the Eagles' offense between when Nick Foles was in there earlier and now that Sanchez has been playing?
Not a lot, really. You know, they're still up tempo, and they still they do a good job of distributing the ball to their good weapons. You know, with you know, the running backs, obviously, and the receivers that they have, and the tight ends. It's hard to miss. It's a hard to match up all across the board. You know, you say, hey, we're going to stop the run, and then they got Macklin and Cooper, and of course the tight end mismatches, and then if you decide to play coverage, they got the great running game. So I don't think they've really missed a whole lot. Obviously, Foles was playing really good last year and had some of his ups and downs this year, but I don't think they've missed a whole lot with Sanchez.
You've had Deshaun Jackson now for, you know, the season's almost over. You've had him for a while. What's he like? What's your guys' relationship like, and how does he fit into your locker room?
He's been fine so far. You know, obviously everybody's a little frustrated now being 3-11 where we're at right now. But for the most part, you know, with the exception of his injury, he's played pretty hard. Last week against New York Giants, I don't think he was quite 100%, so didn't see quite the juice that we normally see from him. And hopefully we'll see it this week with the added incentive of playing Philadelphia. But hopefully we get him back at 100%. But other than that, he's been no issue whatsoever. He's been fine.
Coach, how is your locker room right now? How frustrated is it?
We're frustrated. I think every 3-11 team, 2-12, or 4-10, or every team that's not in the playoff picture right now, I'm sure is frustrated because everybody had high aspirations coming into the season. You know, we had some injuries to some key people early on, which hurt our depth. Lost some close games early, and then got beat handily in a couple other games. So frustration begins to mount, and also with the quarterback changes that we've had to incur has been tough. But we're just looking for some consistency, some stability somewhere, somehow finishing this season with a high note against two division opponents.
Where do you stand in regards to RG3? I mean, I know you kind of pulled him as a starter, and now he's back, I mean, because of injury. But, like, where do you see him and his future and stuff?
We'll see. You know, I think he's got a couple games here, hopefully, to, you know, show what kind of progress he's made this year. You know, he's still a young guy at 24 years old, and, you know, I think we're just looking for him to improve upon his performances that he's had so far with his decision-making, getting the ball out of his hands. We've taken way too many sacks, and we just got to speed up the process a little bit. Hopefully he is starting to understand these concepts and gets the ball out. But I'm fine with Robert, and I hopefully we can put the good game plan together, give him a good chance to succeed and play well these last two games.
Jay, why did the quarterback situation go the way it did as opposed to kind of just trying to figure out with Robert all along?
Well, what happened when Robert got hurt? You know, he left the door open for Kirk, and then Kirk played pretty well, and then had some interception issues, so he decided to give Colt a shot, and Colt came in the second half against Jacksonville and led us to victory, and then, of course, went to Dallas and won. So we got two wins there one against Tennessee, second half against Tennessee, and then we won against Dallas at Dallas, and then when Robert came back 100%, Robert was a starter again, and we struggled mightily on offense. So we decided to go back to Colt, who we played pretty well against Tennessee and Dallas, to try to get a couple wins together. And then he got hurt, obviously, so we're back to Robert. All three of these quarterbacks have shown the ability. They can play the position. We just have not seen the consistency that we'd like to see week in and week out. And hopefully we'll try to manage that the last couple weeks.
As a coach, how do you balance – the short term versus the long term. So trying to win the next Sunday's game as opposed to trying to figure out who your guy is long term.
Well, you try to win the game that you have at hand. You know, nobody's guaranteed year two, year three, year four, year five, or 2020. We're trying to put the players in the best position to win, and everybody knows that and understands that. Hopefully they respect that, but I'm not going to jeopardize a chance to win a football game on Sunday because of what might lie in store in 2019. So we're doing the best thing we can to best we can to put our best foot forward to win the game that we're about to play.
I know you this is only your first year with Robert and everything, but I'm sure you probably went back and looked at film from, you know, his first year in 2012 and everything. What's the big difference? Like, what's kind of kept him from progressing? Like, what do you see that's different from how he played in 2012?
Well, you know, obviously the injury is one thing. You know, he had 800 or 900 yards rushing in 2012, and that element of his own read and was a little bit more of a than it is right now, most likely, and defenses are now had a couple years to really game plan against it, and you see it's a little bit more difficult to run a zone read from a consistent basis. You know, it's more of a, you know, it's a, you want to sprinkle it in your offense here and there, but you can't make a living running it right now. Because quarterbacks get injured, and you can't put Robert in those situations where he's running zone read and trying to run the ball 18, 19, 17 times a game. And he's seeing more coverages, and he's having to play from in the pocket a little bit more because of the third down situation. And he's having to play quarterback from a pro-style standpoint that he's not quite used to doing with some of the new concepts that we've installed this year. And he's not the first quarterback to ever struggle a little bit with a new system, a new terminology, new fundamentals, new footwork, and all that stuff. So it's a process, you know, and I just didn't want to keep him in there with him struggling where it would might lose his confidence long-term, where he can take a step back, learn, listen, and continue to progress as a person and a quarterback.
When DeSean Jackson's fully healthy, how do you notice defenses changing the way they play your offense as opposed to when he's not out there?
Well, you know, sometimes the safeties will play a little bit deeper. Sometimes you get a roll over the top, but really not a whole lot. You know, I think defenses play what they play coverage-wise from a standpoint of what they've used to, what they've grown accustomed to. We haven't seen a lot of – there's only been a couple teams that have really rolled coverages to DeSean. But for the most part, we get – what do we – the only thing he gets is our best corner. Like last week, you know, Cromartie ran with them pretty much everywhere. And, you know, I don't know. That's the big thing is he'll have to beat their best corner if they want to play man-to-man. Other than that, you know, teams are playing standard coverages to them and playing.
Coach, what jumps off the page to you about the Eagles' defense?
I just think they're very opportunistic, man, and they obviously defense special teams. They've got 10 touchdowns. You know, we've got zero. That's a hell of a big difference, you know. They make plays, and they got good ball skills. They rush a passer very well. Connor Barwin's having a great year, and obviously when Trent Cole's out there, I don't know if he's playing or not. And then Fletcher Cox is very good, and obviously Benny's doing a good job. So they got some really good players up front that can really get after the quarterback, and Michael is a great middle linebacker, of course their corners are very competitive. So very good, sound defensive scheme that they have. They're very disruptive in what they do in a running game with all the stunting and moving around that they do. And then they get in third down, and then they got a good pressure package.
The Eagles front seven, you know, has endured some injuries, you know, most recently, you know, Trent Cole. From when you saw him earlier in the season, do you feel like it's affected, you know, the secondary in terms of being able to exploit the Eagles secondary? What has stood out to you, you know, from when you guys saw him earlier in the year?
Well, we know that goes hand in hand around here. We lost a couple key pass rushers with Hatcher and Arakpo, and it kind of hurt our secondary a little bit. And when you lose key pass rushers and you have trouble getting pressure, it affects the secondary. And when your rush is getting home, then your secondary seems to play a lot better. It's amazing how that works. But I still think they have a very good sound defense in what they do with or without Trent. And, you know, they had a rough game against Dallas. Dallas did a great job of running the ball and controlling the time of possession and keeping the lead and keeping their whole playbook open and forcing Philly into some single high things. And they won some key one-on-one matchups. And that's what football is all about, is when you get the one-on-one matchups, somebody's got to win. And hopefully we can do that also.
Hey, Jay, that first game was fairly intense, personal fouls, ejections. What do you do to either guard against it or talk to your team about it going into it?
Well, we just got to be smart. We had a couple key issues last week against the Giants. You know, we had a 30-yard penalty at the end of the half for yelling at the referees, and the Giants got the kickoff from the 35, got an onside kick, and got 3 points because of it. So we got to keep our composure, and that'll be a big focal point tonight or today in our meetings, keeping our composure and making sure we don't get any of those unnecessary penalties. We're not good enough to overcome 15-yard penalties or 30-yard penalties, so we got to make sure we play within ourselves. I love the guys fighting and battling and competing. But obviously when the whistle blows, we got to be smart and get back to the huddle.
In your experience, does it carry over to the second game? You know, if, in a division rivalry, when you have that type of game the first time, does it carry over into the second one?
You know, sometimes it does. I don't know. It's a big rivalry. Washington against Philadelphia is a big rivalry, so you're going to have high emotions. And Philadelphia's playing for a lot, man. They're playing for playoffs, and they're playing for division title, and we're not playing for much other than pride. And we are dying to get this losing streak finished and over, and we are dying to finish this season on a high note so we go on the offseason with a positive note and a good feel. But and I know there's a lot to be played forward, so when that happens, there's going to be emotions running around. And hopefully both teams control them, and there's no extracurricular activity where penalties are the cause of a win or a loss in a football game. We want this thing to be won between the whistles and nice and fair. But it's going to be a tough contested football game.
When he was in Philadelphia, a lot was made about how Deshaun handled himself on social media. I know there were some stories about you reading the tweets and stuff like that out to the team. Have you had to do that? And what's your take on, I guess, how he handles himself off the field?
No, I've read, I think, 3 tweets. I mean, I got blown out of proportion like I start meetings with Twitter readings. I did that during OTAs once and one other time. So, no, I really don't pay much attention to the Twitter unless something comes up. I just try to let our players know that, you know, if something does come up, we all need to be accountable for what's out there and how things can be taken in the wrong context sometimes, even if you mean to say something or not. It happened with you know, a couple other guys. So we just got to be careful what we tweet and what we say. Otherwise, it'll get misconstrued and we'll have an issue. So it's just issues we don't need to be dealing with. We have enough problems trying to beat the opposing team, let alone beating ourselves and handling the social media issues.
On the field, I know you guys have had issues with quarterback, obviously, but have you noticed, like, if Deshaun is kind of, like, stretched defenses, has he kind of, like, opened things up for other guys?
Yeah, he's done that, obviously, and he's a very good wide receiver. But like I said, the last couple of weeks he's been dealing with the injury, and he hasn't quite been the same. So hopefully, you know, I'm what have you done for me lately kind of guy, and lately we haven't seen the Deshaun that we need to see. So hopefully this motivation playing against Philadelphia, and hopefully he's a little bit more healthy. I think that has a lot to do with it. Being 100% against Philadelphia will have a big impact. So, you know, he can definitely take the top off, and we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to be able to get some big plays against Philadelphia because we don't want to be stuck trying to go 80 yards and 15 plays every drive. So big plays are going to be a key element to our success on Saturday.
If I can ask you about the guy who replaced Deshaun here, Jeremy Maclin, what have you seen from him? He obviously played well in that first game, but overall this season, what have you seen on film?
He's a consistent pro, man. I love the way he plays his approach to the football game, and he's tough, and it seems like whenever Philly needs a big play on offense, third down and long, or they're trailing, Maclin seems to always show up. And that's the type of guys you want, man. You want accountable guys that when a game's on the line, they have no problem making the play, and Jeremy's done that. And I had a great chance when he was a senior in college. I had a good chance to work him out before the combine, and I got to know him for about 3 days when he was at Missouri. So I know he's a great kid, and I'm happy for him.